Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, founder and executive director of C3, Kate McKellum.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guests, Michael and Jenna Perricone. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Happy New Year. I am so excited about this new year. Every new year brings new change. And it's interesting. Last year, we talked about a lot about the recalibration. With some of my life coaching clients, I've talked about setting new traditions for the holidays. And I'd like to start off this show by talking about potentially setting a new conscious thought as we move forward. And along with recalibration, we sometimes look at the past and say, well, what about that served us? What about that didn't? How can we make it serve us now? So one of the things that, looking at the past, I was looking at something that I used to hear, being a creative and being an artist myself, as from early childhood, for as long as I can remember, I used to hear, art is not important. I used to hear, you can't make money as an artist. I used to hear that most artists are starving. And I also used to hear that good art only comes from pain or tragedy. And I grew up watching a lot of pain and tragedy on canvas and in theaters and on screen. And a small screen, big screen. And what I got out of that is a lot more pain and tragedy. My heart would race and I'd cry, and there didn't seem to be a lot of redeeming qualities to the art that I was seeing. And I wondered why all of this pain, and why are we reliving it over and over again? Just recently, I bought tickets for some people that I love and a special little boy to go to an event and watch something that incorporated new technology in a way that's never been done before. And I thought, how great this will be for all of us to experience this. And we went and experienced it, and there was orchestra, and there was a chorus, and there were great singers, and this great theater, and this great technology, and the theme was dark, and it made us all feel so sad, and some of us wanted to get up and leave, and I thought, how is this changing, helping humanity in this moment? If we all leave this theater full of hundreds of people, if not thousands, feeling this same thing with no redemption at the end, with nothing positive, and I thought, I think going forward, this is 2018. Going forward, I think maybe we can ask our artists to come out of the closet with their happy creativity, because happiness doesn't just make flowers and pretty colors. Happiness does some amazing things. And we might also encourage the ones that are sharing their pain to find something that they could also share along with it that could make their song or their movie or their story redemptive in a way that this is the pain. I know because I went through it. We're all going through it, or you've gone through it. And this is what I've done. And if they're not there yet, I don't know. Do we still need that art? I don't know. That's a question. We're talking with some artists today who embody conscious creativity, and they have chosen to be conscious and to use their creativity for the good at this point in their life moving forward. So I thought this would be a great way to start this conversation. We will be talking with Kate McKellum, with Michael Perricone and Jana Perricone on the Life Changes Show when we come back after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sierra Campbell, and Alan Roderick Jones, on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. You can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with Mark Leisure. And I know, Mark, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
We could talk about this all night and all day. And, you know, I was thinking about so many things I would love to say, but one of them that really shined was, you know, old Hollywood saying, give them what they want. Mm. And I disagree that that's what people really want. Mm. I think it's been give them what they're used to, give them what they kind of expect. But there's something that's wanted and needed and desired, you know, that's deep down that hasn't been served. And it's exactly what we're here to talk about tonight.
Yeah. And that event that I was talking about, you know exactly.
In fact, just thinking of it and reliving that night brought me back into that energy and watching the
Good
crowd
point.
Around us. So we brought that very experience back in the room. And this was art and higher culture. And there was beautiful music, but it was built around tragedy and darkness and this whole theme. And not only do you relive it when you're there, but then every time you think back to it, you recall that same energy.
Really good point. And what a perfect guest to kick off the new year. We're so excited to have her here and to have a conversation about conscious creativity. She's a producer. She's a writer. Actually, the list goes really long of all these things that she is, and that's exciting. And I'm kind of looking forward to us getting to talk about some of the things, and then having her on again so we can talk about some of the other things, and then and we could do this for years. So she's a producer, she's a writer, she's a digital arts and media strategist, and founder and executive director of C3, which I'm sure she'll tell us what that is. Kate McCallum, welcome to the Life Changes Show.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you both for inviting me into this conversation and for hosting this wonderful show. This is fabulous, and it's an honor to be here with you tonight.
Well, it's great to have you here. It's an honor for us as well. And you were shaking your head and putting your hand to your heart about the, and then you did this hand signal like you're Italian or something, saying, well, that was a powerful monologue. What were you relating with there?
Well, your comments are so important and so timely. It's been a conversation I think that humanity's been having for a long time. And I can talk to you from my own personal
Please.
Background. I'm from a very small town in Michigan, so I grew up with a certain kind of view of the world and was trained as a singer. And so I studied music and classical. I became a classical singer, and I was tracking towards operatic training and singing in that space, and went to college and realized kind of midway into college that I didn't think that that was my path. So I ended up changing my major a couple times, from philosophy and early childhood education and creativity to comparative religion, to finally graduating with a degree in communications. And so I figured, well, I could use my voice somehow in television or film or radio. So I moved to LA without really knowing much about the industry and ended up working in film and television primarily. And I spent 5 years freelancing, kind of getting a lay of the land in production on music videos. I did many, many music videos when MTV first launched.
Fun.
Years ago. And that was really exciting, and worked on independent, excuse me, I have a little cough, worked on an independent feature film as a script supervisor, and kind of getting the lay of the production world, and struggling, you know, that financial challenge that we as creatives and artists have. And then... Exactly. New Year's resolution. And then I was hired on a sitcom called Give Me a Break. which was my give me a break, and worked as the executive assistant to the showrunners on that show. And so I was in the world of sitcom and primetime television now. And then I realized I didn't really resonate to the kind of canned applause and laughter, and that format really didn't feel like it was my for me. So I got an offer to come to Universal and or to move to Universal and work for a producer in TV movies. And so I started in that world, and remember putting my kind of walking onto the Universal studio lot and just being in awe of the fact that I was this small town girl from Michigan now working in this major studio. And that journey of trying to find your niche in the in the industry is really an interesting kind of treasure hunt, scavenger hunt in a way. And so I spent 10 years at Universal working with showrunners and screenwriters primarily, feeling my way into the system and working to understand what I was resonating with and what I could use my gifts and talents for. And I worked on shows like Miami Vice and Law and Order and Equalizer, and was fascinated by how the system worked and was learning while I was going along. At the same time, I was absolutely drawn and devoted to studying human consciousness and spirituality and how we, our inner worlds and our outer worlds kind of flow. So I discovered this place called the Philosophical Research Society the same year I started at Universal, and began studying classes by weekends and nights at the Philosophical Research Society in comparative religion and philosophy and mystery schools and numerology.
That's like culture shock every day.
Exactly.
I was going to say that's a dual life. Yeah.
Exactly. So nights and weekends studying the ancient wisdom traditions, and then by day working on
shoot 'em up.
Yeah. So these two worlds were vastly extended my perceptions of storytelling.
Nice way of putting it.
Right. And the further I got deeper into the work on both sides of the spectrum, the more I felt passionate about how the extraordinary wisdom of the training in this inner world space would be so beneficial if more of it were, you know, built into our story worlds. And, you know, like...
You're here.
Example, Wizard of Oz is one of my favorite films, and Frank Baum was a theosophist, you know, and he put a lot of symbolic meaning into that story, and it's an extraordinary symbolic story of a woman, you know, a young woman kind of going on this adventure and meeting these archetypes. And so I realized, you know, it would be so amazing if these two worlds could blend more.
And Wizard of Oz is an interesting example because it also used fairly new technology of the day.
Yes. Color.
With color.
Black and white and color. Yeah.
That color.
Exactly.
Thing.
But.
When we come back, actually, yeah. I'm wondering if you ever thought that how do I phrase this? Because you're living the dual life. Did you ever think that one could be on television like the other one was? I know you know what I'm asking. Like your nighttime life.
Right.
If it could ever be on television or on the big screen.
Yeah, absolutely.
You did.
And many shows, you know, there have been examples of that. I mean, some of them, oh dear, memory blank. You know, obviously there's been so many thematic, fabulous stories that have been told that people have been, oh God, sorry.
But the sad thing is I can't think of any either. And and so, you know, Mark, the thing is, if there were that many of them, we might be able to pick one or two.
Yeah, there's a handful that have crossed over, but not necessarily to they're thematic, and sometimes they're almost hidden within the story, and you got to kind of find that, but not to the level of the consciousness that you were in on Nighttimes and Weekends as of yet.
Ghosts.
Nighttimes and Weekends. Ghosts. Okay. Ghosts. Okay.
There you go. Well,
there's a good example.
And Medium did a lot on the, in the television world to start opening up to, you know, the storylines of crossing over
and
dream work.
And the angel. What was the name of
that
show?
Touched by an Angel. There we go. Yeah. Okay.
There you go.
But then we got into Joseph Campbell and the incredible impact that he had on the storytellers with Star Wars and Matrix. And, you know, so we were getting much more of that type of depth thinking in and mythic kind of themes into our stories on the sci-fi side, you know, so lots in the sci-fi space.
Good. And I hope that's a trend. So when we come back, we're going to talk about more of your experiences and how you are using them today in some very exciting ways.
Right.
All that education you learned on storytelling, and it's something that you're passionate about, and what you're doing, obviously, you're passionate about. So more on that when we come back with Kate McCollum. And we have live musical guests here in the studio joining us in a little bit, Michael Perricone and Jana Perricone, all on the Life Changes Show when we come back after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen. And the kids laugh at him, then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down, I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Dan Millman, The Green Children, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino, on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark, and of course, our guest, Kate McCollum. She has us laughing. If you want to learn more about Kate, like we said at the beginning, she's got so many projects that she's involved in. And so we've listed just a handful of the ones that she's most closely associated with now on our website, on our webpage that we've created for Kate McCollum. But there's vorteximmersion.com, there's consciouscreativity.com, there's bridgeartsmedia.com. We've listed a couple others as well. Mm-hmm. But Bridge Arts Media actually is where people can get these things. I'm holding a cool CD. I can't wait to take this home and listen to it. And a DVD. Could you tell us real quickly about that, Kate?
Absolutely. So I'll start with the CD, the meditation. One of the courses that I took at the Philosophical Research Society, and I'll speak about this quickly, but it was called Nature of the Soul, and it was a 7-year training in meditation practice, really. So when I talk about conscious creativity, much of it came from this study. And there were about probably 70 people in the class, and we all hung in there for 7 years. Wow. Once a week we met and had this training. And it was really learning how to tap into the inner aligned, you know, the inner kind of imaginal worlds, or our connection to source, we could say. And so that's the term conscious creativity. And that during that practice, I was working to juggle my life and what I was doing. So I came up with this system called Life on the Drawing Board, which was taking the elements of the training that I had gotten and applying it to how I approach life, which was looking at it from a fourfold perspective, which is the physical realm, our physical body, our physical space, the emotional world, the healing of the emotions, and the cultivation of joy, you know, and dealing with the emotional world, the mental world, the imagination and intuition, and the logical mind, you know, and the two of, in the mental space. Mm. And then what I call the fourth, which is like the transcendent, you could say spiritual or the mysterium. So these four different quadrants, and learning how to kind of balance those in your life and self-regulate with that. And so this meditation practice was really about that. So
this is Life on the Drawing Board.
Right. And the Art and Science of Conscious Creativity. It's a kind of guided meditation with a musical accompaniment.
And nice. And that's at Conscious Creativity, or the BridgeArtsMedia.com. Yeah. So I can't wait to dig into that. This is actually something that you teach or lecture on when you have time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I do personal coaching with this system.
And people can reach you one-on-one through Bridge Arts Media?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
great.
Absolutely.
Metasphere, the altered state of heart, a visual meditation.
Right. So when I left the studios to join Ed Lance and Harmony Channel, which was a visual music channel that he was working to launch on Comcast. And he hired me to become his vice president of programming. Mm. And so moving from 20 years of film and television to a visual music channel designed to create different mood experiences was my new adventure. Wow. And that happened after I finished my master's degree in consciousness studies. So it was very like the next step of the process, right? And so
You.
Yeah, exactly. And at the same time, I had stepped up upon a kind of an inner guidance that I had gotten when I was really seeking my next step. And I had, what had come to me was this idea of the Center for Conscious Creativity, which is the C3. And so this was to be a blending of the wisdom teachings and the training and kind of this whole inner, the power of meditation and contemplation combined with arts and media and the content creators, bringing those two communities together. So that launched the same year that I left the studios to work with Ed. And Ed Lance, who founded the Harmony Channel. So
did,
now,
did you not take a day off at all?
No. Oh. I was a single mother raising my daughter.
Oh, wow.
On top of it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Making a living, right?
Wow. Yeah.
So sometimes those necessities power us to explore many different options for how we have income, you know? And producing, you can kind of produce, once you know how to produce, you can apply that to many different fields. So it's kind of,
can
anyway.
We all just take a moment to appreciate mothers and thank you?
Thank you. And single parents and parents and children, all of us. So the C3 became a 501c3 alongside, at the same time I launched Bridge Arts Media. So that basically, what my next step was moving out of the studios into now creating visual music for this channel and launching my company and the nonprofit. So,
and the DVD incorporates music, I imagine.
Yes, because what happened is I met many amazing artists, both musical and visual artists, that combined their skill sets to create the content that we had to program on the channel.
Uh-huh.
So you can still go to the website, Harmony Channel, and see, you know, what we were up to. It was a little early because I think it was much more well suited for an online experience than a digital on demand where you're clicking into. But I fell in love with the format, which was this beautiful combination of art and music. And the difference between a visual music piece and a music video is that, to me, music videos are more about promoting an artist or a band, and they're featured. Mm-hmm. And a visual music is a little bit more like a visual narrative, like Poina Scotzi or Paona Scotzi, or kind of
promoting a feeling or...
Some Saras, one Baraka. Mm. These are kind of more famous feature-length films. So these little visual music pieces were so powerful. Some of them were just beautiful nature with kind of classical music, or chill with abstract and, you know, energetic music.
Yeah, so, I've seen them. I like them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I didn't know that genre really existed, and it became a passion format for me. So then I met this artist, James, and
from the DVD.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And he was 72 when he designed this visual.
Years of age? Oh, wow.
It's a graphic representation of a Kundalini experience. So it's beautiful. And I married him up with a composer, and we created this, what we call an open-eyed meditation, that really kind of symbolizes the experience of the chakra systems, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, that's a thank you for saying that. That's another thing that we could change for 2018 for sure, is that people need to retire at a certain age, or when they're old, they're not useful. When they're older, they're not useful. Quite the contrary.
Very much so.
Good on him, and good on you for
yes.
producing that with him. And you're amazing.
just going to say that.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
You're amazing.
And I give credit. I give credit to my amazingness, whatever, to my meditation practice.
Okay.
That's how you let more amazing in.
That's powerful.
That's right.
I know you mentioned C3, conscious creativity, and can we talk really quickly about New Media Tech?
Yes. So at the same time I began at Universal and at the Philosophical Research Society, I joined the World Future Society because I thought the futures sounded so intriguing. And this is back in the 80s.
Okay, so this is another thing that we could do. 2018 is like you could do almost anything you want. and even as a single mother, you found time to do all of this.
Well, it was just a membership. You sent your check in, and you know, and they sent you a magazine called The Futurist, and it was fascinating because they were talking about
and you took it further.
What was going to happen, right? So all those, it's like how you, it's like our emotional DNA or our life DNA, how it seeds itself and then continues to expand through us, right? So I had these, The Futurist, I had the metaphysics and the media all kind of rolled up into this little packet, seed packet that was growing inside of me, I guess.
This little pod.
I don't know. But then when I met Ed Lanz, Ed had a vision to build these dome theaters. And Ed's been a guest on your show.
Yes. People might want to go back and listen. Ed Lanz, and to listen to that show. It's a great show as well.
And he wanted to, he shared with me this vision. Oh, actually, I heard him speak at a conference, and he showed a PowerPoint on these dome theaters, and I was in awe. I was like, what is that? That looks fascinating. And he was talking about the future, and of course, my futurist radar went up, and I was like, that sounds amazing. I want to know more about this. So, you know, then he had hired me to do the channel, but flash forward to now, like 7 years ago, Ed moved to Los Angeles, and with a vision of, okay, I'm going to launch this new company that's going to build these futuristic dome theaters, and we're going to create a pipeline of content, We ended up partnering because we had mutual visions and goals. And he said, I want to support C3. I think C3 is fascinating and it can all somehow help, you know.
Yes,
and,
it can. And it is and will even more. This is very exciting.
Yeah.
I'm excited for people who will get to benefit from what's being created here, because if you, knowing how you've created on those kinds of levels with the kind of media that you had,
right.
Now with new kind of media, new music and all, and new technology and all that, this is exciting.
It is. It's very exciting. And we really are now, what I believe, we're moving into a new art form, an immersive, mm-hmm. the immersive space, which encompasses virtual reality headsets, you know, augmented reality, immersing the audience and the participant into these new worlds.
These 4D and 5D theaters have become a reality. And the kids, the younger kids are looking. They don't necessarily want to just sit and watch something. They want to interact. They want an immersive experience, right?
Exactly. Well, that's what we believe. Well, and John and Michael have been extremely...
And I believe. Yes, actually, part of some of this.
I wanted to acknowledge them because they've been... supporters of the C3 since we first met. They came onto the board and they're also very dedicated to this similar space. And Jana's been a student of mindfulness and now teaches it. And she brought me to the Mindfulness Awareness Research Center at UCLA, and we've done some events with them. So I'm just so grateful for the work that they do too, because
we're grateful to you for introducing them to us so that we could have them all on the show at the same time with you. And so they'll be coming on in just a little bit. But before that, we've got a couple more things we want to do, and we'll do that after these messages here on the Life Changes Show.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com. You are listening to The Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Barbara Morrison, and Kyle Cease at our archive on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I am Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guest, Kate McCollum, who is, you've heard just a little bit about what she is, but producer, writer, digital arts and media strategist, et cetera, et cetera. And so we've mentioned C3 and new media tech. It just to go to some of these websites and see what they're doing and subscribe or get a CD or DVD. Look at what's there. VortexImmersion.com, ConsciousCreativity.com, BridgeArtsMedia.com, TheArtOfSoundGallery.com, Millennium-Project.com, which we didn't get a chance to chat about. But there are a couple things, actually, Kate, that you wanted to mention as well.
Because of my background and experience in the industry, I'm a member of the Television Academy, which is the organization that delegates the Emmy Awards. And then I'm also a member of the Producers Guild of America. I'm very honored to be a member of that guild because it's such a powerful organization of people that are really, I think, could just do so much, you know, in the world through their talents and gifts and skills. But I'm on the board of the New Media Council, and I'm also on the national board. And my interest and passion in the guild is to help support membership media tech literacy. So really helping the members, including myself, learn more about emerging technology platforms, as well as, you know, the impact of our stories. So coming up in February, we're producing an event with USC Hollywood Health and Society, which is a organization within USC that was funded by Norman Lear, the Norman Lear Center. And their work is about bringing topics of importance to the storytellers to embed solutions into their storytelling or messaging.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, exactly, right? So we're doing a beautiful evening event with them, and we're it's called Producing and Marketing for Social Impact.
Ah.
And I'm excited about that.
Fabulous.
I'm excited about that, too. Well, thank you for sharing that, and thank you for sharing.
And thanks for letting me share.
Well, I seriously look forward to so much more. I've been teased with some stories that I would love to hear more, like a book that you're writing and things like that. So look forward to talking about all that stuff as we learn more about each other and grow together. This is wonderful. Thank you so much, Kate, for being with us.
Thank you both so much.
Kate McCollum. What a pleasure. And so as we move on here, we have a shout out and an Ask Dorothy, right,
Mark?
We
absolutely do. And we are excited to talk a little bit more about a C3 partner and a Life Changes partner, Vortex Immersion Media. Vortex Immersion Media is a development, design, and production company dedicated to crafting stories and experiences by using the latest in entertainment technologies to create immersive entertainment content, 360 and dome venues, and related products and services. Check them out at vortexdomes.com. Dorothy, my name is John, and I live in Santa Fe, New Mexico. The love of my life divorced me and has moved on to a new relationship. I thought that we'd be married forever and just can't believe that I no longer have a family. Our daughter just had her birthday and her mother, aunt, and I celebrated her with dinner together. I felt like my heart was broken and when I had to leave them and go home after dinner. We were a perfect family and all of our friends are shocked when they hear that we are not together any longer. The sadness is overwhelming and I don't know how to handle it. Please help me.
Dear John, divorce is never easy, and I understand the sadness that so often occurs when a family is broken up. I am a divorcee, and it took me years to recover from the feelings of despair after the divorce. I was so focused on losing who I thought was the love of my life that I nearly destroyed myself. So let's find a way for you to heal in much less time than it took me. There are support groups for divorced men, and you might want to join one for a few weeks. This could help you see that there are many who are experiencing similar emotions. It would be interesting to hear what advice you would give the other men, as your advice might offer solutions for you. However, another possibility is for you to begin to focus on what is really important to you and find what brings you joy. Ask yourself what you would be doing if you could not fail, and then begin doing it. Even if you can only do it part-time, begin it now. A close-knit family is extremely important, and yet it is only one of the many important things in a person's life. Finding and doing what makes your heart sing will help you heal your life. It certainly helped me heal mine. And now I look back and am so grateful that I'm not still married and that I'm living in joy and peace and love.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at AskDorothy@thelifechangesshow.com.
Well, thank you indeed, and we'll be right back with our musical guests, Michael Perricone and Jana Perricone, when we come back on the Life Changes Show.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@LifeChangesNetwork.com.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guest, Kate McCollum, who still has us laughing. Joining us in the studio is Michael Perricone, who is a musician, recording artist, and producer, and other things like we just heard about mindfulness, which we'll hear more about, I'm sure, and singer and founder of Museful, a mindful music experience, Jana Perricone. Welcome, both of you, to the Life Changes Show.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yes, so
thanks
happy
for a great
to be
show.
Here.
Happy to have you both here, and we thank Kate again for introducing us. And Jana, you were about to share something.
Well, I was just so excited and intrigued when you started the whole show about how there's tends to be darkness within so much of our entertainment, and it made me think about, I'm a mindfulness facilitator through the UCLA Mark Institute, and how we learned how the mind has a natural bent towards the negative, because because that negative energy lives within the stories that we tell ourselves about the past or the stories that we tell ourselves about the future. But then as we learn to bring ourselves into the present moment, this moment right here, right now, this is where wellness lives. And we can begin to incorporate that sense of positive attachments, because right now is fine and good.
I see, this is why I like this show. I learn so much.
Every show we learn something.
Yes.
Like
this.
This is wonderful.
And Michael, you have done so much in entertainment. Production sound or post-production sound, TV screenwriting.
Yeah.
You wrote for, am I correct, Star Trek Voyager?
Yeah.
Wow. And Charmed, like
TV show Charmed. Yes,
yeah. Sure. I mean, and you have turned all this art and creativity towards exactly what we're talking about today. And your one of your main instruments is like older than all of us combined.
Sure.
The
Tibetan singing bowls, the Himalayan singing
three
bowls.
Three times over.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Himalayan singing bowls. I've been in love with sound since I was 13. And so all facets of sound, both playing music, started playing guitar about the same time. And that all led me into a career in sound, which I've lived my life in recording studios all my adult life. And now on mixed stages for feature films and television. But the singing bowls, I came to them from a very technical aspect, because they have aspects that defy basic science as far as being able to determine direction, frequency. You should be able to tell where they're coming from. But the first time I heard them, it sounded like they were coming from all around me.
Oh.
So that's what got me started. And then I played one and felt really good. Then I played another one, I felt really good. I started collecting them. Now I've got about 50 of them.
And it feels really good.
Are you telling me something I should know?
I'm sure you already know. And 300 to 500 years old, they must have known something back then.
Yeah. Mm. Well, there are paintings in India that go back 2,500 years of a monk playing a singing bowl.
Wow.
And meditating, because it's a meditative process, because it takes a really constant pressure around the rim. Otherwise, they chatter or make noise.
Wow. You know, speaking of meditative process, we have a clip that we want to share of you doing the bowls. How many bowls did you have in this clip?
On the song opening, it's about 20 singing bowls.
20 bowls. Wow. Wow. Okay, and they're all pretty much like different ages, or are they all that
old? They're all in that range. They're all They're all antiques, and I've been collecting them for 20 years now.
Wow. Okay. Mm. Well, so tell us about this piece.
Well, this piece, this particular piece came out of wanting to experiment with the harmonics of the bowls and the harmonics of the voice. With my wife being a beautiful singer, we started playing with that, and it just was transcendental. It was just really took us to another place.
Yeah, I hope in the piece, in the clip that we picked, that there's where you two cross harmonies, and there's the mm-hmm. disharmony that happens for a second, and you wait for the resolution. It's like, okay, so let's hear this piece. It's called
Opening.
Open. Doesn't take long to put you in a state.
Right.
Wow.
There's a vibration and a frequency that we have seen time and time and time again. We do workshops around town where we utilize Tibetan singing bowls, mindful meditation, and voice as a way to help create and cultivate that sense of inner contentment and creativity and ultimately joy, right? And they're very powerful.
And anyone that knows bowl playing, that's next level.
Yeah. and I was thinking we're actually joined in the studio by a friend, Whitney Roulet, who's also got a very close friend who does bagpipes, and there's the drone in the bagpipes. And I was thinking that it's like I don't remember, is that used often, or is that something that you're bringing forward? Like there's a drone, and then there's all this other stuff happening.
Right, but that's part of the bowls, because I have low-pitched bowls and high-pitched bowls, so I'll have low bowls that'll create a drone.
We welcome using other musicians, and we've done events with cellists and flautists and violinists and other singers, and that would be amazing.
I'm just introduction being made, and Michael, I have to ask you, is it the low bowls or the high bowls that make you feel better? I'm just kidding. Okay.
It's a combination, the stretching between.
Okay, very good.
Well, I would also like to say that piece was made into a 3D immersive piece that was shown in the dome.
Oh, wow.
And it was part of, we used NASA footage. It was beautiful, and thank you, Kate, letting us present that.
Amazing. Well, I trust that there will be lots more. And speaking of lots more, there's a piece that you're all going to do for us here live.
Yes, it's called Lifted, and it was birthed from meditation, actually, because, you know, so many times we have a desire to move forward, to step forward, but we might have inhibitions, hence the negative mind. And so this song came to me, and Michael co-wrote it with me as part of that process. I hadn't written any music since like seventh grade, and I'm a little older than that. And and after some meditation, this was one of the pieces that came through.
Wow. Okay. Well, here's Michael and Jana Perricone performing their piece "Lifted" live on the Life Changes Show here at Studio NoHo.
She tried to fit inside the line, slipping in. How can she believe what she doesn't see? Thank you.
just showed. Yay! Thank you so much. I'm waiting for the rest of the musical. It feels like, and then what happens to her? I love that. How can she believe what she doesn't see? And then when will she see that by living in truth, she's free? It's like, wow, it's so powerful. So if you are as fascinated by the music, Jahna Music is where you'd go. I'll spell that JahnaMusic.com. JahnaMusic.com. Or you could find them on Facebook and Instagram at Michael and Jahna, J-A-H-N-A, Jahna, excuse me, Jahna, right?
It's
right.
Fine, darling, no, but, whatever. You
know, because see, Pericone, I would say Pericone, but Jahna, Michael Pericone. Says we're in America, you have to say Pericone, and so I'm going from Jahna, Jahna. Anyway, you get the idea.
So confusing.
Oh, so wait confusing. A minute, speaking of confusing, I turn around, you were holding a guitar, I look up and you're holding a little violin, a mandolin, as if the guitar shrunk. So what's going on over here?
It got wet in between
songs. It got wet.
Well, something, okay, so we chose a piece, the last piece, as a very joyful, light piece, because a lot of times I think when people come into meditation and practice, and rightly so, it's a very insular experience and can bring up some heavier feelings, but ultimately it is accepting and living with those feelings in a particularly new relationship that brings joy. And this song actually came because I was practicing my mindfulness while washing dishes.
Mm-hmm.
And this song came to me.
So this is a dishwashing song.
It's a dishwashing song.
Well,
it's cleansing. It's a different type of cleansing.
A little soapy.
The song is called.
It is the new year.
Love
Everybody's
me.
Doing a
love
cleanse.
Me. Were you it's using love joy? Me. I mean, I don't. Okay. Anyway.
Do you know what? That could have been it. What? It might have been that. It could have been the joy.
What's it? This could be a commercial. What's it called?
It's called Love Me.
Love Me. Mm. Oh. Okay. Well, I can't wait. Here is Michael and Jahna Pericone performing Love Me live on the Life Changes Show here at Studio NoHo.
Whispers that surf on the wave of an evening breeze, filtering through the leaves in my mind, tickling its way to my ears so I finally hear the gentle reminder that you really do love me. Like flowers in sunshine, laughing at nothing and smiling out loud. A joy light skips off the pavement, lifting me up from the clamoring hub of the crowd. 'Cause I find myself scattering remnants of yesterday's dramas and worries all over my street, dragging them with me as if I were Atlas, believing I need them so I feel complete. And you love me like flowers in sunshine, laughing at nothing and smiling out loud. A joy light skips off the pavement, lifting me up from the clamoring hub of the crowd. Because sometimes we're looking for love in the wrong faces. It's there, but we don't recognize. Wanting to live in dramatic daily races, so happy I opened my eyes. And you love me like flowers in sunshine, laughing at nothing and smiling out loud. A joy light skips off the pavement, lifting me up from the clamoring hub of the crowd. And you love me like flowers in sunshine.
a joy light skips off the pavement, lifting me up from the clamoring hub of the crowd.
Michael and Jana Perricone. I'm sorry, you're writing a musical. I could just see her washing dishes at the sink and the bubbles, and she's singing the song.
Oh my God.
And okay, we have Wicked, and this song, this musical is going to be called Lifted. Okay, right? And
I think
she,
I have a co-writer.
We'll talk. Yes, and we'll need a violin and a bagpipe. Okay, we got it all here. So, Michael and Jana Perricone, what a pleasure.
Oh, thank you so much. And what a joy.
Mm. So, to learn more about them or get their music, go to janamusic.com. That's JAHNAmusic.com. And find them on Facebook and Instagram at Michael and Jana. Just Michael and Jana, actually. This has felt like a family show. I mean, like, this is like one big happy family. As a matter of fact, I have to acknowledge that we have Jet Polisher in the house and Tess Cacciatore. And of course, we've already mentioned Whitney Roulet. I'm saying that right. But anyway, but such a pleasure and happy new year, everybody. Thank you for making our first New Year show so special.
Thank you so much. What a complete joy it's been.
Thank you.
And so with that, a big thank you to another family member, our very own Brent Hahn here at Studio NoHo for making us all sound so good.
Thank you, Brent.
And a big thank you to Doug Newsom and... Doug and Don Newsom at VBS Radio Network. On behalf of Dorothy Donahue, our executive producer, and Mark Legere, our producer, I am Filippo Voltaggio, your host, reminding you that as your life changes, like surely ours did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.